Today on Real Radio.
And all of a sudden, you've got to keep begging. You got to keep getting a new one. You got to get five more because four doesn't do it. It just doesn't fit anymore. And you're constantly in the world begging. You're getting toys. You're getting things to get meaning, to get purpose. And we were beggars. And then the moment Jesus Christ comes into your life, you're changed. I don't understand it. But you pray, you know Him, you read the Bible, and you're content.
You beg me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher resumes his series through the book of Acts. We'll be taking a look at chapter 3, where we see the power of the gospel. In fact, that's the title of this study that looks at how our Lord used Peter and John to spread the word to the people of Israel. What got their attention was the genuine healing of a man unable to walk from birth. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
The title of the message is The Power of the Gospel. And as we've been coming through this book, we have been hearing every Sunday about the power that Jesus has provided for us in the giving of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people want to talk about the Spirit. A lot of people might say, oh, he's got the Spirit, or she doesn't have the Spirit. What do they mean? Well, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. So when Jesus on Pentecost day sent his Holy Spirit from above, he came in such a way as to set upon us. We studied in depth, and you're free to get the tapes and listen to it, that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost not to indwell us, he was already doing that, but to come upon us for power. It's the Holy Spirit that actually baptizes us into ministry, and that is effective ministry by his enablement and by his empowering. And I don't know about you, but I've been very sheltered in my spiritual experiences. I was born and raised at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa and came from Calvary Costa Mesa right to here. But I remember, and still now, when I drive down there and just pull into the parking lot, this sounds kind of corny for most of you, but just going down there, if you've ever been there, you just pull in and it feels different. The place feels different. There's so much love. There's so much peace. And it seems as though God, like, lives there, you know? Even though God lives everywhere, it's like he kind of hangs out at Calvary Costa Mesa, you know? And I've been really blessed because God has found fit to hang out here too, and that's been really precious. But the precious thing is to also consider is that when you go to a church or to a place or to a gathering where the Word of God is lifted up, you're lifted up. Have you noticed that? People are excited about the Word of God. People are pumped about God. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God, and when Bible's given, God will use it. And so there's places that you and I visit. Maybe they're kind of dead. Maybe God's not there. Nothing's happening. There's no conviction, meaning you don't feel nailed by the Holy Spirit for what you're doing wrong. Convictions of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Then there's no joy. Maybe because people aren't focusing on the goodness and the grace of God. And it's so important that whatever we do, we seek the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the power of the gospel is because the Holy Spirit gets behind the truth of God and drives it into the world and specifically into our hearts. But God is involved in a living organism called the church. Churches have different personalities. It's a living organism. Some churches are very, very proper, and that's blessed, and God honors that. Then there's churches that are a little carefree, and yet they both exalt Jesus and love the Lord, but there's a different personality. Well, because you and I have different personalities. We're still the body of Christ. There's different churches. Still the same body of Christ, different atmosphere, same Spirit. A beautiful work of God's Spirit in the church. And we need to be careful that we are never discouraged or brought down thinking, God has somehow forgotten me. You are the church. You're it. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's good news. I used to be involved in a cult, and you didn't have that promise. A cult doesn't have that. The Church of Jesus Christ does. He says, Jesus says, I will build my church. And by the way, the gates of hell will not have victory over it. That's a great thing to know. The church is going to survive. The church is going to make it. But why don't we look right now in the first part of our study in chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. And verses 1 through 11 cover the power of God in healing. The power of God in healing. And then in verses 12 to 26, we'll see the power of God in the Word or in the message. And so why don't we just jump into this as we picked off or left off in verse 47 last week. Now verse 1 of chapter 3. Luke tells us here in the Scripture, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, that is the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And we'll stop right here for now because it's a good place to stop. That is a precious story. All of us have heard it and maybe have taught it in Sunday school and all. But hopefully this morning we'll get maybe a different look at it. We'll see God and the power of healing here. And as we get into this, verse 1, we need to make just an introduction about something. Why are they going to the temple? The New Testament's just been established. Why are they still going to the Jewish temple? They're not in Judaism anymore. So what's going on? We need to look at this real carefully, because what would happen is the Jew who did not receive Jesus as Messiah would still go to the temple to offer up the little lamb to cover their sins, not realizing that the Lamb of God had just recently been offered up on the cross to take away our sins forever. They didn't consider that, or they had rejected it, or they weren't aware. Kind of hard to do in that community, but for whatever reason. Note this, that Peter and John go to the temple, and they're going there for prayer. The Bible says in verse 1 that it's the ninth hour. That's the ninth hour in Hebrew thinking. What that means in Roman time or Gentile time or Chino Hills time is that it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the 3 o'clock observation of prayer. And the Jewish mind for well over 1,000 years had prayed at 9 a.m. in the morning, 12 noon, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And what they would do is they would offer up sacrifice and they'd pray. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, verse 2, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. What a sad story. We know from Acts chapter 4, verse 22, that the man is a little over 40 years of age. So either his friends or his family have been bringing him on a gurney-type situation to this temple area and setting him down so he could literally beg all day. And so this is what's going on. And there's thousands of people gathered around, and Peter and John are going to prayer. And here's this man. And by the way, those of you, and there's been many in this church that have been with us to Russia, you've seen people begging on the streets or in the metros. It's kind of sad, you know, and your heart just goes out. But what it means is this man is begging, he's crippled, and what he would do, he'd have a little cup, or a hat or a little box that he's made, and he would hold it out and he would say, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And that word alms means a righteous act. And he's saying, will you do a righteous act for a poor man? Will you do a righteous deed for a poor man? He would be calling out like that. And there's thousands passing by, but this is a certain man, a man that the Holy Spirit has singled out that he's going to heal and touch. And I want you to pay attention this morning, because you may be much more related to this crippled man than you think. By the time we come to the end of this, you're going to identify with this guy. He's asking, begging anybody help. Peter and John now come by, and look what happens in the narrative here. Verse 3, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing, that is Peter, Peter fixes his eyes on him with John and says, look at us. And the word in the Greek is strong. He's begging him, look at us. And there's a command to it. Look at us. Have you ever been around somebody who's so humble or so abused that they can't even look at you? Their life situation has so put them down. They are such in a place that they can scarcely look up. I had an opportunity a couple of months ago to be in that kind of a scenario. We were doing some street evangelism, and there's a large crowd that gathered around. And when I got done speaking, I broke off, and they started playing music and stuff, and I got into the crowd, and we're sharing the gospel with the rest of you in this crowd, and I saw this little beanie. And it looked like a real goofy beanie, to be honest with you. It stood out. It looked kind of funny on this guy's head, you know. And that's all I could see. So I started making my way over there, and I was thinking, well, you know, I haven't seen any children around here, but maybe it's a little child, or maybe it's like a midget or something. What's going on? And I made my way over there. And there was a man sitting in a wheelchair, and he didn't have any legs. And I got closer to him, and he was dirty, and he was homeless, and he was a mess. And I stooped down, I looked at him. And when he raised his head up, he had the most beautiful face, incredible blue eyes. And I looked, and I tell you, my heart on that trip was touched, but nothing like this guy. This guy nailed my heart. And when I looked into his face, he looked up, and then he put his head down, and he was hiding. He was actually hiding from me. He put his face down, you know, and I said, hello. And he nodded his head, and I said, listen, do you know about Jesus Christ? No. He wouldn't even look at me. And I began to share with him about Jesus, and I saw tears just dropping like bombs on his lap. And I began to tell him that Jesus knows all about your condition. He knows who you are. He's known you by name all along. And for the first time, this man had never heard the gospel before. And you could see his spirit kind of getting excited. But the thing is, I had to keep like this, and I actually got down on the ground to look up at him, because he was so beaten down. And that's the word in the Greek here. The man is down. Peter says, look at us. Come on, man. Look at me. And the man reluctantly brings his face up. And he's been asking for something. He wants to be helped. But Peter says, look at us. And so the man gave Peter his attention. And then verse 6, Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give you. Silver and gold I don't have. Silver and gold is exactly what that guy needed, don't you think? Needed some more money. Maybe he could buy some friends to carry him around. Maybe he needed some money to get, a nice little chariot or wagon or something that he could ride in? No. Jesus comes to us this morning and says, silver and gold I don't have. That is, silver and gold I'm not about to give you, because it will just fuel what you're doing anyway, which is having a basic, non-existent life. You don't need any more money. Oh, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not. But you and I don't need any more money. What I need is power. You don't need any more power. What I need is success. I've been watching those shows on Saturday, and I've been sending them 50 bucks for those tapes, I'm going to be successful. Success is not what you need. I just need a break. That's what I need. Just a break. You don't need a break. You need Jesus. Oh man, that's such a glib response. People so often say, oh man, how can you say that? I need to eat now. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. You're not going to starve. But what will happen concerning eternal issues? That's what God's concerned about for this lame man. Yes, he's going to heal him. But Jesus is not going to heal through the apostles this morning only to let this guy go into a non-existent life. Look what happens. Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. And here's the power. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, verse 7, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. The word in the Greek is a medical term. I think it's pretty exciting. You know, Luke wrote the book of Acts. He was a physician. So he used a medical term here. And the word in the Greek means to align straight and snap together. That's what that word in the Greek means. God aligned his leg and then snapped it back in. That's what the word means. He couldn't walk. He couldn't walk all of his life. He'd been like this for some 40 years. And God was healing him right on the spot. And the name, listen, it's not the faith in faith. It's not the faith in a program. It's not the faith in the preacher. You get these guys on TV and, you know, you need to have faith in faith, brother. Just have faith in faith. And it's like, what is that? Faith in faith. You're not to have faith in faith. You have to have faith in God. People say, well, if you only believe more in yourself, you could pull it off. I believe God. Nothing the Bible says is possible to me. But with God, all things are possible to me. Have faith in Christ. He's the one. And so, this man is made whole. He's snapped back together. He's made complete. And so what do you think his response is? Verse 8. I love it. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. What a conversion. Not only does he have his feet back, the guy goes to church. That's pretty fantastic. Oh God, I'll serve you. I'll serve you, Lord. If you just get me out of this mess, and then God gets you out of the mess, and then you say, well, God, it looks like I got out of that mess, so it looks like I won't be serving you. This guy gets healed and stays committed. And look at his commitment. It's a heartfelt, can I say this, non-religious commitment to Jesus Christ. Religion will kill you, you know that. It must be a relationship. This guy is lame, he's touched, he's made whole. And he doesn't waste any time, he goes directly into praise and into worship. And I think that's beautiful. You know, concerning us ourselves and where we're at, the Bible promises us in 1 Corinthians 15:52, the Bible has promised us that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Before we came to Christ, we were so dislocated. Some of us are still feeling the ramifications of the dislocation of the past. But when we came to Jesus Christ, we were snapped together. God put us together. But we are so much like this man. We were in the world, and we needed so much. We needed something from this person, and then they let us down. And then this group of people, they'll do me right, and they let you down. And haven't you seen all along the way now that it was God arranging the circumstances to bring you to a point and to a place to have faith in Jesus that he might make you whole? And let me pass this by you a moment. I see this guy as a perfect picture of humanity. The Bible tells us concerning ourselves that we are born handicapped. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we're really born in sin. We're sinners. We don't like to admit it. It goes against our pride. We don't want to hear it. But just like a doctor The doctor has to say, you know what, you have strep throat, and this is what you're going to take to get better. Jesus says, you know what, you have sin, and this is what you need to take to get better. And it's all of humanity. Just like this man. He was born this way. And then the other thing that we need to consider is that he couldn't walk. We couldn't walk either. We couldn't walk toward God. Every time we would try to walk toward God, maybe something would pull us off the path. We couldn't get committed to him. We tried, we wanted to, but we wouldn't come to God on his terms. His terms have got to be love, you know. But we want to kind of get right with God, so no. You come, you bring your sin to God. He, just like in this story, passes by and lifts you up. But you have to realize first that you need help. He's so good. But we couldn't walk towards God. The other thing is notice that this man's outside the temple. None of us could worship the Lord. Before we were born again, Jesus said, you must be born again. He was outside the fellowship of God. This man's outside the temple. He was a beggar. Let me say this. Before I became a Christian, I was a beggar. And I'll tell you how. No, I didn't look like a beggar. I had a nice car and I was dressed okay and all. But I was a beggar. As I looked at this, I realized I was a beggar. Because what would happen is I would use people to promote my program. If I wanted to get over there, I would be nice to those guys so I could get to that position. Or if I wanted this, that, or the other thing, you manipulate. Or when you're trying to find meaning in your life, you surround your life with things. And I did that. And I saw in my life that that's what I was doing. I had this car right here. And I had three of these things, and they were really shiny. And I had one of these. You only need one of these. And all of a sudden, you've got to keep begging. You got to keep getting a new one. You got to get five more because four doesn't do it. It just doesn't fit anymore. And you're constantly in the world begging. You're getting toys. You're getting things to get meaning, to get purpose. And we were beggars. And then the moment Jesus Christ comes into your life, you're changed. I don't understand it. But you pray, you know him, you read the Bible, and you're content. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. And you're at peace. Jesus says a peace that passes all understanding. If you don't have that peace this morning, then you're a lame man. You're a lame woman, and you need Christ in your life. And we don't like to hear it. But this man knew that he needed a touch from God, and he got it. And that's very, very powerful. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be. And then he enters. Man, this guy is touched. He is leaping. He stands. He walks. He's praising God. Verse 8. He's praising the Lord. There's been a change.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study series called The Power of the Gospel. It's a look at Acts chapter 3, and we'll continue to journey through this New Testament narrative here on Real Radio, so be sure and follow along. Remember, you can hear these studies once again and as often as you'd like just by visiting us at www.realradioactive.org. www.realradioactive.org. To get in touch by telephone, it's easy to remember, 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.